God bless you, and hope you all had a great Christmas week and Happy New Year. It's going to be a great, great year because God's love is constant. It's constant. Everything else about our lives seems to change and sometimes overwhelms us or intimidates us or makes us afraid to a degree, but we have to come back to our resting place. It's in His love. So let's just pray and just invite the Lord's presence to encourage your heart and mind today. Father, thank you for this great day. Thank you that we're loved by you. Thank you, Jesus, you're our everything. Thank you, Father, that every person in this place can just take their place in Christ and not be nervous about nothing. Jesus, you're our full supply. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless our time of fellowship in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's start with this verse Josh was talking about last Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. So something that's indescribable, you don't have human language for it. I mean, we stumble, we try to figure out the awesomeness of God. Josh was trying to explain, even through the centuries, how Christian leaders would try to preserve the wow of God, you know, that even in the 5th century, and he would have these writings of these different church leaders that he read about, but, you know, that God became man. I mean, how do you describe that? That Jesus was 100% man, and yet he was 100% God. How do you describe it? It's the gift that's indescribable. It's the gift that pre-approves you and pre-approves me before the Father. In other words, Jesus came to establish a covenant of grace. And he came to establish a covenant that's based on his life, not your life. It's based on his work, not your work. It's based on his goodness, not your goodness. It's based on his morals, not your morals. It's based on his obedience, not your obedience. It's an indescribable gift. Most of us look at our lives not according to the gift. Most of us, unfortunately, look at our lives according to our life or ourselves, our humanness. We're trapped in this human body, so we're addicted to know things according to the flesh. But to live victoriously in Jesus, in the gift, we need to live by faith and walk by faith. So I have a little illustrated sermon today. In fact, at our Christmas banquet that we had a couple of weeks ago, I talked just a few minutes about this, and I thought after I heard Josh preach last week that I would try to develop this a little more and kind of encourage some of you who didn't make that beautiful meal at El Patron on Reseda Boulevard. But this little box represents like our humanness. We're all kind of like a box. You know, our boxes get old, they decay, they go back to the ground. Isn't that true? But in our box, in our humanness, there's a spirit. We are a spirit, and we have a soul. But most of us only measure ourselves according to the box. So the box can be beat up, marked up. Sometimes it's our minds that are marked up. Sometimes we mark our bodies. Sometimes we mark our soul deeply with hurt and pain and suffering. And so we're all hurt and broken and, you know, kind of bruised in many capacities. And sometimes we try to hide it. Sometimes we try to make our boxes look good, like everything's wonderful. But deep down, we know that our box never gives us peace. Our box never gives us a full supply. Our box never gives us rest. So Jesus has come, as that verse said, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And the gift, Jesus, wraps us. So this little illustration is the picture of somebody who's accepted the gift. Somebody who is gift wrapped. Now think about this. When you're in the gift is in you. And this is part of the mystery. You are in him, and he is in you. How do you describe it? It's a union of a mystery that is magnificent. It's so beautiful. Now, in your life today, you can see yourself this way, or you can see yourself this way. To see yourself this way, you just live according to human wisdom or human reasoning. And you'll stay judgmental about yourself. You'll stay angry about yourself. And you'll judge everybody else and want to pick a fight. You know what I mean? This flesh life will trouble you. Or you can use your faith and look to the one who loved you, the one who accepted you, and see yourself in him or gift wrapped. I want to talk to you today about how the gift wrap can transform you if you just let your mind be renewed to the beauty of what faith in Jesus has done for you. So again, this cardboard box represents our human life, our flesh life, our visible life. The gift, however, Jesus once received wraps us. We are covered. We had lyrics in the songs this morning that were covered by the blood of Jesus. We're wrapped in his life. We're wrapped in his grace. We're wrapped, the Bible says, we're clothed from on high. It's a magnificent mystery that faith takes hold of, but it thrills your spirit. It restores your soul. It lets you step into your future. And all of us have a future, right? Don't we all step into a new year here just in a couple of days? And some of us may have had a terrible year. But listen, God's love for you is constant, and so let's step into our new year anticipating that he's going to manifest the beauty of himself, not only on us, but in us. Our wrapping doesn't come and go. In fact, when you go out in the gymnasium, maybe have a little fellowship or a cup of coffee or maybe a treat, some Christmas treats or something. By the way, there's all this candy left. Get another bag and have New Year's candy out of all the candy lane back there. But help yourself, fill your pockets. Have a good time. But some people think that, you know, you can just rip this packaging off, this wrapping off, and the truth of you is really still this. No, it's deeper than that. You know, the gift, Jesus himself says, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. You can't get out of his love as quick as you think. A lot of people think, you know, they can just do something wrong or make a flesh decision and they lose the wrapping. No, the gift of God's love is dominant and constant. And this is the mystery of his love because it's part of the union. It's not only upon you, it's in you. It's woven through your life and it's part of the mystery of Christ in you and you in him. So the gift, Jesus, identifies with us in our human weaknesses, even in our frailty, in our humanity, and even in our sin. But the gift is more like shrunk wrap. It's so tight on us. It's so woven in us. You know, sometimes we get gifts for our grandkids, and they come in this plastic wrapping. And you can't get the stupid wrapping off. You know what I mean? You need to get a knife. You need to get scissors. It's like very... Listen, to get God's presence off your life, I think is really impossible. I mean, you got to be really, really, really resistant because God's love is everywhere. And God wants to absolutely weave you so your thinking looks like this instead of this. That you don't look at yourself based on your life, you look at yourself based on his life. Jesus is God's opinion of you. And when you learn to think according to the revelation of the gift, you get comfortable with the righteousness of Jesus that's been granted to you. So the gift is really shrunk wrap. It's deep in you. You are sealed. You're sealed in his love. And just get comfortable there. Even in your humanness, even in your frailty, even in your sin, get comfortable with, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Decree it. Declare it. Say it, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. In fact, we are so infused with the gift that the Scripture teaches us that we're a partaker of divine nature. Now, we're not like Jesus in Josh's description last week, 100% man and 100% God. I'm not 100% God. I'm 100% man, but I'm filled with the Spirit. Think of that. God's taken residence in me. Can you imagine somebody as much of a rascal like this as me, the chiefest of all sinners? God chooses to take residence in me. He takes residence in you. This is the beauty that we are partakers of divine nature. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 say this, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Notice, not laws, not demands, not even commands, promises. Step out of yourself into himself. Change the way you think about the truth of you, because the gift speaks the truth of you. Your humanity is no longer the way you have reference. You have no more reference point before him based on you. Your reference point before God at all times is based on the gift. So you have promises that through these you are partakers of divine nature. Think, that's part of the mystery. Divine nature is in Keith Hershey. You got to be kidding me. The truth of the gift speaks. Having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. How many know that your flesh life can have all kinds of carnal, lustful, whatever, you know, strategies or ideas or retaliations or paybacks or whatever. And this is why we have to come to a place like this, a space like this, a place of grace where somebody reminds us again and again of the indescribable gift. I'm not me based on me. I'm in Christ. And faith put me there. And this is the beauty of believing that we are a partaker of divine nature. Look at this. Now, speaking of mystery, this will even kind of define it further and even probably bring more questions. But look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." My, we are so interwoven, so immersed, not just from the outside. Yeah, it changes the way we act and changes the way we live. And there's a radiance and a countenance at times, a joy of the Lord that's visible. But it's deeper than that. We're one spirit with the Lord. You say, "Keith, can you explain that to me?" No, I can't. Please ask your pastor. Let your pastor explain that to you. But it's the beauty of the mystery of the love of God. We are one spirit with the Lord. Look at it, it says two verses later, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your body," that's this thing, "is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" See, when you're gift-minded, you can believe, hey, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. When you're frustrated, when you're full of fear, when you don't know what to do, when you have a flesh out or a freak out or whatever, hey, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. It says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. See, when we think according to our flesh, we're very possessive of ourselves. We're very possessive of everything. We think we own everything, but really we've been bought with a price. We're owned by God. We're not our own. God takes your broken, bruised up humanness and he transforms it. He fills it with the indescribable love and life of himself. And it goes on to say then in verse 20, "You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, the outer life, and in your spirit, the inner life." It says, "which are God's." You know, what can help you, what helps me many times is when I just am comfortable saying, "God, I'm yours. You're mine." Sometimes I don't like to think necessarily. I want to make my own decisions, my own ways. I want things to happen a certain way, and they don't happen my way. I have to yield to the saying, "I'm not my own. I'm yours, Lord. I'm trusting you in what I don't understand. I believe that the gift has got me." And I believe that's what's beautiful, that God is absolutely wrapped me up. I am gift wrapped. That's why I can have joy in times of turbulence. That's why I can have peace when I want to be so angry. I'm gift wrapped. I can't explain it except I believe it. Faith allows me not to live bitter. Faith allows me to see people not according to themselves, but to see themselves as I see myself, accepted, loved, and redeemed. It's a beautiful thing. God's glory has restored you. God's glory has. Jesus prayed a kind of a cool prayer in John chapter 17, verse 22. This is before he went to the Calvary's cross, you know, to take the sin of all of us, take the sin of the whole world and take it away. The sin of all time, take it once and for all and have a new covenant that's enforced in his blood. It's an amazing thing. So he's praying for the folks that he knew naturally or physically or during his lifespan. But then he says, I'm praying for everyone who even comes after that. He's saying he's praying for all people for all time, he says in this prayer. But look at this phrase in John 17, verse 22. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Now that's a pretty picture. Jesus says to the Father, Father, the glory you gave me, I give them. Think about this. The glory that Jesus gives you is part of that indescribable gift. It's hard to imagine. It says that they may be one, talking about the union, just as we are one. Think about this. You and Jesus are one. You're one spirit with the Lord. And however that looks, from the outside to the inside, you're dripping with the life of God. You're filled with the love of God, and it's indescribable. But it's the truth of you. And the Bible says that when you live this way, we can be one with each other. Wouldn't it be nice if people in families could just love one another, and people in churches could love, or people in communities, or people in the United States, or people around the world? There's a place where there's unison and unity in the love of the Father. And it's part of glory. It's the glory God gave Jesus that Jesus gives all of us. Do you know when God created man, Adam and Eve, in the Genesis account, it says that when God made us, we were crowned with glory and honor. That's what it says in Psalms chapter 8, verse 5, that God crowned us with glory and honor. So there was a place and a space in time when God created us where we were covered like this. We had the glory of God inside and outside. But then you know the story that Adam and Eve, they wanted to let their flesh life be dominant, and through choice and decisions, they decided to strip themselves really of God's plan, and they tried their own plan, and sin came in. And so sin was the picture that has a death penalty to it. The wages of the sin that they created is death, or spiritual death, or a separation where people don't know the unison they can have with the love of the Father. So Jesus came to replace the glory and to give you the glory position again. So you can say, glory, glory, hallelujah, huh? Where you don't have to live your life trapped, but you can live your life trusting, thrilled with the beauty of what Jesus has done. So sin changed everything, and we all came short of the glory. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. You may have memorized that verse at some time. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we lost a sense of our worthiness. We lost a sense of what God had for us. We had sin on our conscience. We were always concerned with what we did and what we didn't do, and if we did enough, and if we're right with God, or if we're not right with God, or, oh, I just cussed, I must not be saved, or I'm this, or I'm that. No, listen. Jesus came and restored you not based on your capacity for anything except to receive the gift. And this is the beauty of being gift-wrapped. So when Jesus was born, it says the glory came down. Luke 2:9 says that. The glory shone all around them. The glory revisited the human race in the love of the Lamb of God, in Jesus the Christ, in the gift. And so in Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, he restored to us his glory. We are gift wrapped. We are thrilled, we are filled. It makes no sense, but it's the beauty of faith to see yourself according to the gift and not according to yourself. Listen, this picture will absolutely depress the heck out of you. If this is the way you think about yourself, you'll never have a good day. You'll lie yourself into the truth. But this is the truth of what God says about you in the gift, in Jesus Christ. And this is why it's so powerful. Glory is the word doxa, D-O-X-A. In the Greek language, it's having a good opinion concerning one. For example, I honored Ray Wong today. I give Ray Wong glory. I have a good opinion of him. He's going to be 90. What a faithful friend he's been to me and Heidi. He and Reed and their family for 35 plus years. I mean, what a treasure. I have a good opinion of Ray Wong, so I can verbalize glory because I know he's gift-wrapped. And he lives a life that exhibits the truth of Jesus and not the truth of himself. Now, Ray, according to the flesh, was a rascal. And when the flesh has a voice in his life now, he's probably still a rascal. But the truth of the matter concerning Ray is he's gift-wrapped. So I can give glory. Glory I give to Ray because I have a good opinion of him. When God gives you glory, he's telling you that God has a good opinion of you. God does. God does not see you or know you according to your flesh. God sees you and knows you according to Christ. God has a good opinion of you. You say, Keith, how can it be? It's part of the indescribable gift. I can't fully explain it, but that's the beauty that brings transformation for your life. As long as you'll have Jesus in your equation, you can be transformed from glory to glory. And you always know, even in your weakness, God has a good opinion of you. And this is the beauty of the gospel. I remember when I was a young boy growing up in Michigan, and that's where I'm from, a little town, but I used to always go to a summer camp, but like a Bible camp, and it was a blessing. But I remember, I don't know, I was maybe 11 or something, and hearing a song, Heaven Came Down, and glory filled my soul. When at the cross my Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Do you know, if you'll think of yourself from your faith position, glory is always evident. Glory is always possible. You always need to renew your mind to the truth that God has a good opinion concerning you because his glory was granted to you. And that really is good news. If you believe it, if you really believe it, that glory has filled you, and from the outside to the inside, you have the life and nature of God, you can live free where you have no consciousness of sin, even though you sin. You're not sin conscious because you're not self-conscious. You're conscious of the Lamb. You're not conscious of the flesh. You're conscious of spirit life, not a natural life. You can live free with no more consciousness of sin. A lot of times when I'm talking with people who are really depressed and they're discouraged, they have trouble with sin consciousness. And so what I always try to do when I'm working with people is not have them look at themselves according to themselves. That's going to depress you and me. So let's flip the equation. Let's put Jesus in the equation. Let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving, that's indescribable. And let's step into his life. And let's renew our mind to the truth of the glory that's come down, that's transformed us. Look at it says, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Now, you all know the law game, the law system was the first covenant based on man's capacity to do good and be good. And nobody could do it or be it. So the Bible says God found fault with that game, that system. He said, I call it obsolete in the book of Hebrews. And he put a new deal in place based on him and the Father. It's amazing. God put a covenant in based on Jesus and God, where it's a perfect covenant based on two, you know, units, two people, two entities that can't fail. And we're in that new covenant based on the work of Jesus. We just have to believe it. So it says the law was a shadow of the good things to come. That means you're living in the days of good things. This is good times, baby. Hey, we ought to sing that old sitcom song, Good Times, huh? Listen, you and I, in the new covenant of the gift, the gospel of the gift is good times. Why? Because sin has no more domination of your life or your mindset according to the worldview of your flesh. Look at it says, For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not only the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. It could never do the job. It could never provide righteousness. It could never provide glory. It could never provide what God's intent was for you and for me. Verse 2, for then they would have not ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. See, the system of basing your standing before God based on your obedience and the offering you provide doesn't get sin off your conscience. You're always sin conscious. But look at the next verse says, verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. Do you like people who hang around you always telling you what you do wrong? I mean, isn't that encouraging? To live with somebody who just nitpicks the heck out of you and tells you what a loser you are, what a sinner you are, you're never going to be better. You know, it's like they're trying to measure your spiritual, life based on a flesh work. But your spiritual life is measured based on Jesus. And this is why we have to announce, those of us who are, have friends or, a spouse or kids or grandkids, we have to keep announcing to those around us who we see the brokenness of, and that's all of us. Heidi certainly sees my brokenness. But in my brokenness, she announces to me of the love of Christ. She'll say, man, we need to take communion. You need to remind yourself, so you're not so overwhelmed and depressed and full of fear or whatever my challenge is. I have many challenges. This thing, this flesh, system worldview is somehow still anchored at times in me that I have to cast those thoughts down and yield my heart and life to the love of the Lamb, the gift. I'm gift wrapped. I'm through and through Holy Spirit, so to speak. I'm wall to wall the presence of God. He's taken residence in me, and you too, and you too. You can draw from the well of salvation anytime you want. It's so beautiful. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Sin consciousness means you're always measuring yourself based on your capacity. In Christ, you don't measure yourself based on you. You measure yourself based on Jesus. And this is the beautiful thing. This is what King David foresaw, that God does not impute sin. Think about that. God doesn't count up your sin. Man, I always thought God was kind of like Santa, had a list of whether I'm naughty, whether I'm nice. And my naughty side always out-measured, was much longer than my nice side. I mean, I'm real good in flesh failure. God doesn't count that way. It says God does not impute sin to your account. Now, David talked about this. He foresaw it when he saw the Lord. Said he saw the Lord, and he understood a covenant that was coming, which changed everything. And this is the covenant of good things and good times and blessing. So it says in Romans 4, verse 6 through 8, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Think about this. God imputes righteousness apart from you being good. That's amazing to me. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord shall not impute sin. See, you can live gift-wrapped in such a way where you have no more consciousness of sin. Even the sin you committed this morning. Listen, the love of God is so rich, so strong, so real, so beautiful, it's so thrilling. There's a blessedness in knowing that and in believing that. The death of Jesus covers you, like we sang this morning. Even your forgetfulness. I used to think I had to confess every sin. I can't even remember all of them. You know what I mean? God's love even covers my forgetfulness. The blood of the Lamb keeps cleansing and cleansing and cleansing. Just hang out in Him and just give Him praise. Just hang out in Him and say, thanks, man, I look good in you. Just hang out in Him and say, I am redeemed. Tell yourself the truth of you based on the wrapping not based on your humanness. And then you'll find a great joy. So the death of Jesus covers you. You don't have to trust in your capacity to do good to be covered. You're covered just because Jesus wants to cover you. He imputes the gift. It's the gospel of the gift. It's not the gospel of merit. It's not the gospel of morals, although the gift will make you moral and the gift will make you do good things, but you don't do good things or you don't have to be good to qualify. You are pre-approved. It's the mystery of the love of God. It's not based on your faithfulness. It's based on His faithfulness. It's not based on your obedience. It's based on His obedience, the obedience of one, the Bible says. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So you can now be perfect in conscience because you are living with no more reference to your sin. You're not living in reference to the old life. You're living in reference to the new life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's part of the mystery. It's beautiful. The law system, based on your merit and your capacity, is only a shadow. It was not the substance. The gift is the substance that took away sin. Remember, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin." He didn't cover it. He took it away. It's not even part of the picture. God sees you in such a way where sin is not even within the frame. It's not on the canvas. You're painted beautifully with the love of Christ. Fully forgiven. Fully freed. It's amazing. The law covered sin, but Jesus took the gift, Jesus, took away sin. It's no longer a reference point. It's kind of like during Christmas season, did y'all do some Christmas shopping, go to the mall or online? You know, like every day up to Christmas, I mean, there were boxes arriving at our house. I thought, Heidi, what in the world? And I said, well, I paid for them, you know, with a credit card, you know, a MasterCard or Visa or American Express or what. Boxes were coming. But, you know, a credit card's not payment. A credit card's covering. A credit card makes you think you've paid it, but the bill is coming. How many know that mid-January, the end of January, the 1st of February, you're going to have some arrivals called the true bill that will require true payment? The law system, you know, couldn't be the payment. The payment is the gift. It's the gift. It's a once and for all payment with no more reference to the debt. No more reference to it. Jesus is your real payment. And so when you feel screwed up, when you feel frustrated, when you failed, when you cussed, you know, everybody in San Fernando Valley out, all you have to do is take a moment, come hide. Go sit in a park under a tree. Go park your car someplace, you know, in a gas station parking lot and be quiet. Come to church. Come hide. And say, Jesus, I need to hide in your love. Jesus, I need to renew my mind to the truth of you. Jesus, help me. You know, every time you stand in the gift, you're saying, Jesus, you're my help. You're my comfort. You're my counselor. You're my everything. Jesus is the real payment. Five things real quick for your new year, okay? I want you to have the mindset that you're not this, even though you're housed in one of these. I want you to have the mindset that you're this. And faith puts you there. I am gift wrapped. You ought to say that to yourself. Make that part of your prayer. Father, because of Jesus, I am gift wrapped. Inside and outside. Thoroughly. There is no sin that's imputed to me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus is your real payment, and what the real payment does, the real payment wraps you with unending love. It's like a picture of the Father in Luke 15 with the prodigal son with his arms extended, and he runs and wraps up the prodigal. Can you imagine God would wrap you up? God would absolutely wrap you up and hold you. God will wrap you up and hold you. Like the song we sing, and never let you go. I mean, you may try to cuss enough and do this enough and say, I don't believe this, and I don't believe you. His love is that strong to hold you where your mind can absolutely shift and the revelation of glory can come. Because God wants you to know He has a good opinion of you. He sees you according to the gift. So you're wrapped with unending love. Number two, you're wrapped with eternal righteousness. It's not a righteousness that comes and goes. It's a righteousness that's real. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what I say to myself when I have a flesh failure? I tell myself, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Even when I'm failing, even when I'm fuming, and I'm a nice guy, but I tell myself in my points of pain, I'm the righteous. I renew myself to the truth of the wrapping in my deep despair. Number three, real quick, you're wrapped in union. That's that mystery. God's in us, we're in Him. How do you explain it? It's an indescribable gift. He's with you. He loves you. He forgives you. He's got nothing against you. He heals you. He redeems you from destruction. Your life is not falling apart. Your life is not going to hell. In Jesus' name. You're wrapped in union with Him. Number four, you're wrapped in His holiness. What I mean by that is sanctification. The Bible says in Jesus Christ you have wisdom, you have righteousness, you have sanctification. I can think of myself sanctified as the holiness of God's life is evident in my human expression because I'm wrapped. I can't do it on my own. Trust me. I've tried. I can't. I tried for decades. I can't. I get no glory of my own based on me. But He gives me glory because heaven came down. Glory filled my soul. Number five, last thing is this. You're wrapped in His finished work. Quit trying to think there's something more you got to do. You don't got to give no more. You don't got to do no more. Listen, you can rest. You're loved. You're accepted. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. God has a good opinion of you. And you know what? When you sit in the wrapping, you want to do a thing or two. You want to be kind. You want to be generous. You want to serve. You want to do things. So do it. But it's not to qualify. It's because you already got everything. Rest by being wrapped in the finished work of Jesus. And when you're gift wrapped, you're motivated by His life to live loved. Live life loved. Just live life loved. If you can live life loved, you'll live this way. If you can't live life loved, you'll live this way. But my hope for you, my hope for me, is that during this upcoming year, I'll just take a moment in the beginning of my day and probably throughout my day, because life is hard, right? And just take time to be loved. And tell myself, Keith Hershey, you are gift wrapped. So just get over it. Just suck it up, believe it, and not see yourself according to you. See yourself according to me, Jesus. And that's the beauty of the Lamb. Amen? Give the Lord a shout of praise. You like the word today? Hallelujah. I'm going to have Josh come and finish the service, lead us in communion. Josh, you're welcome to come anytime. Let me just give one other verse here. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this. For the love of Christ compels us. When you live like this, you're not compelled to do anything, are you? Who gives a rip about anything? It's just about me. But when you live like this, the love of Christ compels you. How does it compel you? It compels you because we judge thus. If one died, Jesus, all died. Everybody was included in this life. It's a mystery. Now, everybody doesn't seem to accept it. Everybody doesn't get it. That's why we have to announce the news. There's got to be somebody who tells the story of glory, that heaven came down. So we have to announce the news so folks like this who don't get it can live wrapped, gift wrapped. So the Bible says the love of Christ compels you to do that. You don't do that out of fear. You don't do that out of obligation. You don't do that out of merit like you're currying favor with God. You got all the favor from the Father in Christ you'll ever need, huh? But what the love of Christ does do is it propels you to live a life with God's life where you're a blessing. You know, the Bible says in the Old Covenant that God blessed you to make you a blessing. And so every year in January, we have a missions conference. And it's going to be 2 weeks from this Thursday. It's called Compelled. It's based on this verse. It's going to be two nights. So we have that banner, Compelled. There it is. Let the love of Christ motivate you in life and ministry. You all are invited for Thursday night banquet, okay? The cost of the banquet is normally $500 a head, but for you it's free. No, the banquet's free to everybody. But it's out here in the gym. It's a great time, and it's where we share just ideas and visions and opportunities for the new year. So if you'd like to come, I know many of you have come in previous years, you're welcome. This is the Sunday that's an open Sunday, okay? You can sign up. My wife Heidi will be out there. A few other people might be out there. Ginger, I don't know if you're hanging around for a minute or two. Maybe you can help us as well. But we just need your name, those from your family that may be coming. And we'd love to have you. That's 2 weeks from this Thursday for the Compelled Missions Conference. And I'm going to be sharing some things that night that are kind of crazy, but crazy cool, okay? Because it's all based on this. It's not based on this. Actually, if I lived like this, I wouldn't give a rip about anything, to be honest with you. I really wouldn't. To heck with everything. But I live like this. I'm in the love of the Lamb, so I give life away all over the world. So if you want to come to this. I know you're going to be blessed abundantly. Love you guys. Thanks for letting me share today. Josh?